Diane, and she is, you can go anytime now. Is that where we're at now? You have one more week to go? All right. As of next Sunday, she's ready to go, and you can tell by looking at her she's ready. And you can tell she feels ready, so pray for that. I was just take this for the words. Last Sunday night, we had missionary Jason Young here, and I called on Brother Mike to pray, and Mike thanked the Lord for the two great events that were going to happen in our church, that we have a lady that's expecting a new baby, and that we have a young couple getting ready to get married. And I was hoping the missionary realized those were two different things and not the same event. You know, none of us would have given a second thought, but I don't know why it is, but I just thought, I'll have to explain that. And he probably didn't get it either. I didn't bother telling him anyways. Just the way things go sometimes. Psalm chapter 106 this evening. Psalm chapter 106. I read through the book of Psalms probably early. This is March, so probably just a couple of weeks ago going through Psalms. And just one of those things that jump out at you that I know I've read dozens of times before, and yet the Lord just kind of emphasized it or underlined it, you might say, in my mind. And I want to bring that to you this evening. Psalm 106, beginning in verse number 34. Psalm 106, beginning in verse 34, we'll read down to verse number 42. And I hope you can get the gist of the message. I know it'll be very strict if we put it in its strictest sense, but I want you to get the gist of what the Bible says here. Psalm chapter 106, beginning in verse 34, talking about Israel, said, "Then did they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance. And He gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand." I want to use as my text tonight verse 35, "But they were mingled among the heathen." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Our Father, again, we thank You for this evening service. Father, we are so thankful that we could gather together this morning, and especially on this day, honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, surely because of that resurrection, we have a purpose for gathering, a purpose for even living. And so, Father, we thank You for that. Now, as we come together again tonight, we thank You for each one that's come out. And Father, we pray that You would be pleased by the things that You see and hear in this place, that our fellowship one with another, and most of all with You, would be precious to You. God, we know that it is. We pray, Father, our lives would be used to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the purpose by which You made us. I pray, Father, You get a hold of our hearts tonight as we look at these things in Psalm chapter 106. Father, these words were written for our admonition and our learning. They apply not only to the nation of Israel in the day in which they live, but, Father, have application to us today. And I pray, Father, You give us a clear view of how these things do apply to us. Father, help us to commit ourselves to be unspotted by the world. That, Father, our mind and our life might be focused on You, and You might have such control over our lives, that, Father, the wiles of the devil might have a hard time getting at us. I pray, Father, You use this text, use Your word. Father, most of all, I pray Your Spirit would be our guide and our teacher here this evening, and we pray that You would speak to each and every heart. Challenge us. Father, help us to examine our lives and look at the areas where the world might be getting too strong a hold. Father, use Your word tonight to speak to our hearts and strengthen us. For we're dependent upon You. We need You tonight to speak to us. So we ask You to do so in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God said about His children in verse 35 that they were mingled among the heathen. Israel was God's people. He separated them in the Old Testament unto Himself. They were His chosen people. It was to Israel that He gave the land that they inherited. It was to Israel that they gave the commandments and the statutes and the laws. It was Israel to whom God gave the patriarchs and then the kings and then also interspersed in there the prophets. It was Israel to whom God trusted as His people to be something that would stand apart from the rest of the world and apart from the rest of the heathen. It was Israel who God had chosen to be a bright light and a testimony of all that He had done for them in the land and in the area and the time in which He lived. Their Old Testament history is such that when they served God, when they kept to themselves and served God, the blessings of God were abundant upon them. They had rain in the land. They had abundance of food. They had peace and security as long as they kept the commandments of God. But the Bible tells us that they did not drive from them the enemies of God. And they allowed the Canaanites and all the other ites that we read about in the Bible, they allowed them and tolerated them in their presence and in their midst. And slowly but surely over time as the years went by, when Israel allowed these enemies to be close to them and current to them, they began to observe them and to watch them and slowly to pick up their ways. To see the ways that they served their God, to learn about the gods of these heathen nations, and even at different points to be able to imitate them in their worship of these gods. They would show slowly but surely be more and more influenced by the heathen that were around them. And I'm sure you can understand that this text is, though centuries year old, is still very applicable to you and I today. That we have the tendency to be surrounded by the heathen and to slowly but surely pick up their ways. And we're going to look at some things tonight, and I know that you could take this and really drill it hard and get to the point where all of us should, you know, hold up in our houses with an arm to the teeth and not let anything come into our... And please take all of this with the leading of the Spirit of God. We are to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And it would be easy for me to give you a checklist and say, all right, here's what you need to do to not be of the world, and if me give you my checklist and God not give you His checklist. A lot of times preachers get caught up in, you know, what they do. It's what they do. If they don't do it, you're not supposed to do it. If they do it, you're supposed to do it. I'm not going to do that. Because I know that God is wiser than I am, and God will tell you what you ought to do and what not to do. And He might tell you not to do something He allows me to do. And He might allow me to do something that He tells you not to do. I think of the example. Brother Gary Edmonds and I were talking one time, and he talked about going bowling, having a youth outing, and getting the kids and going bowling. And he said, God will not let me go to a bowling alley. I said, why is that? He said, before I got saved, I played in a band. I played guitar, and we went into bowling alleys, and we performed, and everybody drank and smoked. He said, to me, when I walk into a bowling alley, it's a place of defiling. He said, I can't do that. I have no problem going into a bowling alley, especially since they outlawed all the smoking. Of course, I haven't been in one for a long time anyways, but I don't have that problem going into it. I don't have those memories. I don't have some of those things. There are other things in our lives where to one person it is something that is unclean and something unholy. And I'm not talking about the basic things of the Bible that we all know to be wrong. But I'm talking about specific things that sometimes God will allow somebody to do and not allow somebody else to do. And so I can't give you a checklist and say, here's what you need to do to be holy. God will give you that checklist. God, if you stay in... Now, here's the whole problem. If you're not reading His Word, you're not going to be holy anyways. But if you're reading it, He's going to give you a checklist, and it might not just be don't do this and don't do that, but He might speak to your heart about challenging you to clean up some areas that you never suspected, about changing some things that you never saw anything wrong with. I'd much rather have God do that than for me tell you here's how you ought to do it. But God says to Israel here that they picked up some things from mingling themselves among the heathen. Now, folks, we are in this world. We don't have the promises of the land. We don't have a land that God gave us that we can drive the heathen out and just us live in it. We don't have those promises. Those were made to Israel. But we do have the same principle that God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, we're in this world, as I said, but we're not to be of this world. And if we don't guard ourselves, we will quickly follow the footsteps of the nation of Israel that are recorded here in verse 35 down through verse number 39. I want you to look and see what happened to Israel when they mingled themselves among the heathen. Number one, look at verse 35. But were mingled among the heathen and, number one, learned their works. The time they spent with the heathen nations around them were a time that over the period and course of time, by not driving them out, by simply watching and observing, not imitating, not learning to do because they wanted to be like the heathen around them, but over a process of time, just by being exposed to the heathen around them, the Bible says they learned their works. And you know what? There was a contrast between the works of the children of God and the works of the heathen. And the same thing is true today. There is a contrast, and might I even say a contradiction, between the works of the heathen and the works of the people of God. And the sad thing in our day is so many that call themselves by the name Christian or put that title over their church or over their head are living mingled with the heathen, living like the world and trying to still claim themselves as children of God. There's a contradiction in the behavior and the actions of the children of Israel and the heathen that were around them. And yet as these children of God watched and observed the heathen, they became more and more like them. Now I'm not saying that those today that by their lifestyle are definitely worldly. I'm not saying that their profession of Christ is false. I'm not saying they're not really saved. But I'm saying this, they mingle themselves among the heathen. And you do that for such a period of time and you won't know what's right from what's wrong. You won't know what's clean from what's unclean. And we see that so predominant in the church age we live in right now. I can sit at my desk and I can get flyers and they'll say, you know, come to this youth thing. We've got puppets and we've got dramas and we've got a praise team and music and we've got a Christian rock concert! ! And you know what? Those people don't see anything wrong with it. You know why? They've mingled themselves with the heathen for too long. They've listened to the world's music. They've been infected with what this world is consumed with. And they've listened to that so long that when you say Christian rock, you know, when I say that to you, I'm pretty sure, when I say Christian rock to you, something in your head's always saying, that isn't right. But if you stand in most of the churches around today and stand in the pulpit and say Christian rock, they think you would be saying that in a positive spirit. And you know why? They've been mingled among the heathen. They said, well, the world has that music. We're just taking that music and putting Christian words. To you and I, that is ridiculous because we know the Word of God. But to most of those folks, they have sat back and become so enamored with the world and its styles and all it has to offer that they think taking something worldly and making it Christian, so to speak, is a good thing. You know why? They've learned the ways of the world. They've watched it long enough that they have been so infected that they can't discern what is right from what is wrong. They've learned the ways or the works of the heathen. They saw them. They watched them. They became infected. And I tell you this, wickedness is infectious. Sin is infectious. And if you don't cut it off, it spreads. If you don't treat it immediately, it will move its way up and down your body. It will get all the way through there. It will sink deep. And before you know it, you'll not even know that originally you had something that was that bad. I don't know about you, but we stopped getting the newspaper. Now, I'm not again, and see, here's where we can't make a checklist. I don't get the Daily Jeffersonian, so bless God, if you do, you're a heathen. See, I'm not going to make statements like that. That's where some people go to. But you know why I stopped getting it? Because I didn't like the headlines any longer. I got frustrated with the headlines. It was about an Amishman committing incest in his home. It was about a fellow in Buffalo getting arrested for child pornography. And these were the headlines of the paper. The first thing I saw when I got it, that's what had to hit my eyes and enter my mind. I just decided I don't want that anymore. And again, I'm not judging anybody else for reading the paper. There's times we go buy one because we want to check something out or see something. So you understand what I'm saying about the issue. But we're so bombarded by the world. And you know, we hear about these things. A man getting involved in child pornography or even somebody getting defiled by pornography. And we think, how can that happen? Well, it didn't just happen one day. He didn't wake up that morning and say, here's what I'm going to do, and get himself involved in one of those things. In fact, the majority of those people that get caught in those things, when they get caught, you know, the first thing they said is, I didn't intend for it to go this far. I didn't think this would ever happen to me. You know what happened? They watched, and they saw, and they got infected. And the same principle that happens to them can destroy many a Christian life. When we are not careful and we get mingled with the heathen. You know who the best example, and I know you know this, the best example of this is Lot. Here was Lot, who had the privilege of traveling with his uncle Abram. And when he and his uncle Abram were so blessed of God that their cattle and their herds were so abundant, Abram came to him and said, you know, we've got to divide, we've got to split up. There's becoming some controversy between our herdsmen, and we're so blessed that we need to divide ourselves. And Abram, being the man that he was, said to Lot, he said, you choose first. And Lot chose the well-watered plains as they looked toward Sodom. And the Bible tells us that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now again, because you know your Bible, you know that's the beginning of trouble. When he pitched his tent toward Sodom, he was looking in the wrong direction. And everything that happens in his life from that point forward comes because he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Eventually, you know, he moved his family down into that town. You know what the abundant and rampant sin of that town was, the ungodliness and the wickedness. And not only did he pitch his tent and then move down there, but then he became a leader in the town. He was an elder or a leader sitting in the gate, meeting other people and representing this town and being a representative of the city of Sodom. How'd you like to have on your little, you know, you pull out your little card, business card, and say, you know, my name is Lot. I'm one of the chief rulers of the city of Sodom. And I'm a righteous man. And he was, because the Bible says he was. But you know what he did? He got mingled with the heathen. You know what happened when God's judgment fell? He made it by the skin of his teeth. And he lost a good part of his family in the process. And if you could have seen Lot after he got out of Sodom and his wife was turned into a pillar of salt for looking back, if you could have talked to them and said, Lot, do you remember when you departed from your uncle Abram? You remember when you first pitched your tent? He'd said, I never would have thought I would have ended up here. I never would have thought the tragedy that has befallen me would bring me to the point where I am now. And you know what happened shortly after that, and the incest and just the filthiness and the defiling that took place, all because he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know what he did? He observed the ways of the wicked. And the longer he saw them, the more infected he became. And even though he didn't participate himself in those sins of Sodom, boy, they affected his life and his family. The Bible says, it says of these of Israel, that they were mingled among the heathen and they learned their works. If you let your guard down, you could end up in a situation you never would have imagined. It's true of anyone. All of us have the capabilities of being a Lot. All of us have the capabilities within ourselves, if we don't stay in love with Jesus Christ and stay in His Word and stay in church. He's the way you're the preacher, you have to say that. No, I'm convinced it's true. If we do not stay in church and in fellowship with God's people, we are capable of becoming just what Lot was and having the disaster and the judgment that fell upon him because he was mingled among the heathen. Expose yourself to the wrong kinds of things and they'll fill your mind. You have in your house the wrong kind of magazines. And again, I'm not going to give you a checklist, tell you this one's all right, this one's not. But you know what's right and wrong. You get People magazine or one of these that's exalting Hollywood and exalting the elite and all that kind of stuff, and you read about them and see their clothing and read their stories and get all absorbed in that. I tell you what, slowly you're being infected, and you don't even realize it. Your heart and mind are be taken away by the things of God, and you're placing, and I'm getting into my second point too quick, but you're placing idols in your life that's going to take a hard time to cut back out and get things straightened out. Be careful of the reading material that you allow your eyes to sink in. Read your Bible every day. It's the only safety net you've got to protect yourself. If you'll read this, it'll stop you from reading something you shouldn't read. That's not saying everything other than the Bible is wrong. It's not. There's some things you can read. There's some things that are educational, things that are just relaxing to read. But be careful of what you're reading. Be careful of what you listen to. Be careful of the music that comes into your ears. It can take your heart away from God. The things that we absorb and surround ourselves with, and I've told you this before, get all the Christian music you can and get so much of it that you don't have time for anything else. So he says, well, is this kind wrong and this kind wrong and that kind wrong? I'll tell you what, just get all the Christian music you can, determine you're going to listen to that all day, and you won't have to worry about any other kind of whether it's right or wrong. It'll make a difference in your spirit. It'll make a difference in your worldliness. It'll make a difference in your devotion to God. Watch out what you watch on television. You know, it's interesting, and this has nothing to do with that, but We were out of town. We went to a pastor's conference last week. And in the morning, we went down for the continental breakfast, and I don't know, and we saw CNN. I don't have that at home. I saw CNN or Fox News or whatever it was, and we're sitting there watching on this big TV screen as we're eating our breakfast down there. And there was some, I don't know what it was, some scandal was going on or something going on in the news, and they had all these experts coming on. And these experts were coming on and commenting on whatever it was they were talking about. And I turned to the preacher next to me and I said, is it just me or are all these experts really young? And I know I'm getting older, but all these experts on all these different subjects look like they're 30 years old. I thought, how can they be an expert at 30 years old? I mean, they're still wet behind the ears. Sorry, 30-year-olds. But how can they be an expert at something by 30 years old? You haven't lived long enough to be an expert about anything yet. And we're so prone to take the information that we get from the information age in the world. We're so prone to absorb all that thing and expose ourselves to the wrong kind of things. And when we do, we lower our standards to those of the standards that are around us. We begin to think like we're told to think and act like we're told to act. That's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. That's why we need the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we need the reading of the Word of God. That's why we need prayer. Because we need that influence to counter. And it's not, well, I spend so much time in these things that I got to equal it. No, spend enough in that doesn't mean anything. And that doesn't hold any value or importance. The Bible says that they mingle themselves among the heathen. They learned their works. Notice the second problem they have, and I believe, as I've told you before, every list in the Bible either goes uphill or downhill. There's some kind of order in the list. And what happens when you mingle yourself against the heathen, first of all, is you learn their works. Then in verse 36, and they served their idols. All right, after they had learned their works, then they served their idols. After Israel had watched for so long the nations around them and began to observe them and even to begin to imitate them, then they began to make to themselves gods like the gods of the nations that were round about them. And in place of their God, they substituted the God of the heathen. You and I need to be careful in our life. It wasn't too long until they were worshiping and serving the gods of the people around them. This world has its gods, and they promote it every day. I read somewhere that you know, when you go on Google, you could type a couple words to search for certain subjects. And there was in World Magazine this month, there was a little article about, and this is not personal, or this is not political stuff, you know, recommendation out of that, but just stating a fact, that people had put the two words Obama and Messiah and set a Google search with those two words, and there are over 400 occurrences that popped up that Obama is referred to in some way as not the Messiah, but a Messiah in the political realm for this country in the future and around the corner. This world has its gods. This world has its adoration toward people in politics. And I'll give you a political commentary. Don't make an idol out of any politician, whether it's Obama or Clinton or McCain or even George W. Bush. Don't make an idol out of any politician, because man at his best state is altogether vanity. And politicians rise and fall. I can name you the presidents I think were the best presidents in my lifetime, and at the same time I can show you the things that I think they did wrong. Because none of them was perfect or infallible. We shouldn't be worshiping politicians of any of the people in the world. I mean, if you're going to make a list of the top people to even emulate, they definitely wouldn't be near the top. Them, let's see who's here. Them and lawyers would definitely be around the same category there. And that, again, is political opinion, so don't worry about it. But don't make gods out of this world, the sports world. And I like sports. I'll admit that. I like my teams. I check the scores. Don't get to watch any of it, but I check the scores on the computer and see if they won or if they lost and how they're doing in the standings. But don't make a god out of any of that stuff. It's not worth it. You know, some people, their team loses the Super Bowl and they're in a funk for 2 weeks. And they can't bring themselves out of it. It means too much when it gets to that point. Make sure we guard ourselves against making gods out of this world. Don't make gods out of the Hollywood crowd. If your spiritual advisor is Oprah, you are in trouble. You're in a mess of trouble and all this stuff, and I don't follow that, but I just know that she's got this new religion she's pushing that some say is a new age religion and all that. I don't know any of that stuff, but I know she sure turning the TV on isn't the place you want to go get spiritual leadership and guidance. Don't make gods out of television. In fact, don't they have a show called American Idol? Now, isn't that a coincidence? Making a show where you idolize people you don't even know. Idolize people that, as far as you know, are not Christian, don't know God, don't follow God. That's what the world wants you to do. They want you to make idols out of their figures. I remember years ago when Michael Jackson, I'm throwing all these names out tonight. I remember years ago when Michael Jackson was accused of improper conduct with children down at his ranch and all that went up. Some of his biggest fans were standing outside of the courthouse and saying he was innocent. And the newscasters or the news people would go over and say, you know, how do you know he's innocent? Because I like his music. You know, their whole basis for determining whether he did or did not do something wrong is I like his music. That's like saying O.J. was innocent because he was a good football player. Those things don't matter. We make idols out of people, and the world wants to gear us to worshiping things that are contrary to God. Now, it's not wrong to get involved in politics, I don't believe. It's not wrong to like watching something or, you know, something that's not going to defile you and corrupt you. That's all fine. But just be careful, because Israel, when they got mingled among the heathen, after they learned their works, they served their idols. And the problem is today, as we said before, the problem with the contemporary church is that they've gotten so wrapped up in the world and become so worldly that they can't separate spirituality from worldliness. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're not even not saved. Some of them are saved. But it's just that they are so entrenched in this world already that they can't see a difference between that and the church. Brother Sowell was talking at that pastor's conference I went to recently. And he was talking in his conversation, he said this. He's had a lot of people come to their church up in Toledo from the contemporary churches. They've been starved spiritually, and they're not getting meat. They're not getting fed. They're not getting Bible. And so they've wandered over to Hope Baptist Church just to see what's going on. And they get in there and they say, man, this is it. We're getting fed, we're growing, we're getting taught the Bible. And he said, wonderful things are happening. But then these same people are coming to the music leader and say, hey, how come you're not using some of the more current music? They don't realize that the thing that was hurting them is the music they were being exposed to. Now they've gotten to where it's not there, and they say, hey, you know, we're getting the word now, that's good, but let's get the music too. And they don't have the spiritual insight to understand what's happened in their lives. They have watched and mingled with the heathen. They have learned their works, and now they're serving their idols. Look, if you would, down at verse 37, we find a third thing. They were mingled among the heathen, so they learned their works. They served their idols, verse 37. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters. You know, being a second-generation Christian is a tough thing. I don't know what it's like. I'm a first-generation Christian in my family. But I know it's tough to be a second-generation Christian, because you grow up fighting that battle of knowing what is right, knowing what is taught, having that new nature, and yet having that old nature. I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with just an old nature, and I'm not recommending that by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm saying it is difficult, because the decisions that are made by the parents, whether you want to admit it or not, carry over to the children. Your decision to be faithful at being church on Sunday night makes an impression upon your children. Your desire to be here Wednesday, Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday morning revival meetings, everything, missions conferences, your desire to get involved in all the things of God, all that God has to offer, makes an impression upon our children. Here Israel was. They've been chosen by God to live and set an example. But what their children are seeing is them mingling themselves with the heathen. And then learning their works. And then serving their idols. And you know who ends up getting burned in the long run? They sacrificed their sons and their daughters. Look, if you would, over at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. This is the best illustration that could ever be given of this, and I know it won't be new to most of you, but look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. This is a story that keeps me straight. I'll give you a personal testimony. It's a story that keeps me straight. When I am tempted to loosen the reins just a little bit, when I'm tempted to back off just a little bit, not be so strict, not be so dogmatic, not be so narrow-minded, when those temptations come, this is my story. Because this is a story that reminds me why I'm doing what I'm doing. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, look at verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Those two words, joined affinity. You know who Jehoshaphat is? He's the godly king of Judah. Ahab is the wicked king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the good king, decided to join affinity with Ahab. Look at verse 2. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? Ahab was going to go to war, the wicked king. He says to the good king, join with me. Will you go with me to fight this battle? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Can I tell you, if you don't know the end of the story right now, that was one of the most foolish statements ever made by anybody in Scripture. When good King Jehoshaphat said to wicked King Ahab, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. We will join together with you. Sure, you're married to Jezebel. Sure, we know of your character and your conduct, but we will join affinity together with you. They went out to battle. Now Ahab also, I don't know if Jehoshaphat just, you know, lost it or what was going on with him mentally, but Ahab came to him and he said, you know, as we go out to this battle, let's do something. You wear your kingly robes and I'm going to wear the robes of a servant as we go out to battle. And for some reason, Jehoshaphat bought it. He said, how can you explain that? He's mingled with the heathen. He's not thinking right. He's not seeing the error of his decision. So he says, all right, I'll wear my kingly garments. You go out dressed as any other common soldier and we'll go fight the battle. But you know what the enemy had said? Fight neither with great or small, but only with the king of Israel. They were looking for Ahab. They didn't want anybody else. They wanted Ahab. And when they came to the battle, the only one with the kingly garments was Jehoshaphat. And they went and they warred and they fought and they cornered Jehoshaphat into the corner of a box canyon. And as they surrounded him, getting ready to kill him, he cried out and they realized it wasn't Ahab. It was Jehoshaphat, and his life was spared by that narrow of a margin. He said, well then, he got away with it. He escaped. He mingled with the heathen, but he came out all right. He had a son named Jehoram. Jehoram grew up under his father mingling with the heathen. His son took the daughter of Ahaz and Jezebel to wife and led Israel into idolatry and wickedness. You know why that happened to Jehoram? Because his father mingled himself among the heathen. You and I need to be careful because the price of mingling with the heathen does not just affect us. It affects our children also. We allow the world into our lives and the world into our homes. And I guarantee you, with their nature as young people and with the devil working with peer pressure and all these other things, he'll use things quicker on them than he will on you or I. You or I could experience or see some things and turn it off and it'll be done. But those will linger in the minds of younger people. And they'll stay there and burn there and work there. And we will defile them and lose them because we've been mingled among the heathen. Jehoshaphat lost his son, lost his generations because he mingled himself among the heathen. Notice if you would in Psalm 106, verse 38. Not only did they learn their works, served their idols, sacrificed their sons and daughters, but verse 38 says, and shed innocent blood. The last part of the verse says, and the land was polluted by blood. Now, the first thing that always comes to my mind when I read about these things is the abortion industry. And it's amazing that it's called the abortion industry, because that's what it is. You know why? And we can stand in judgment of those that the Supreme Court justices and all that happened in 1973. But you know, 1973 wasn't the problem. 1962 was the problem. When as a nation we mingled ourselves with the ways and the views of the heathen to such an extent that our Supreme Court said, all right, we no longer need Bibles in our government schools. We no longer need prayer in our government schools. And in the early 60s, when we put those out, we opened ourselves up to the ways and the works of the heathen and the idols around us, and we got to the point where our society is today, that taking the life of an innocent, unborn baby is not even questioned. Can I tell you something? And I'm going to keep my anger down as I say it. And this is my personal view. It doesn't have to be yours. I would never in my lifetime vote for a presidential candidate that is not against abortion. I would never in my lifetime vote for a presidential candidate that thinks it's okay to kill babies in the womb. You can do that. You say, oh, you lose your political standing here. Hey, if Obama's pastor can say what he said, I can get away with a whole lot more than what I just said. But I would never vote for a candidate. Why? I'm not going to mingle myself among the heathen. I'm not going to sacrifice what I know. This is just me. One of these days I'm going to stand before God in heaven. And God's going to look at me and He said, in that 2008 election, who did you vote for? And I won't tell you who I'm going to vote for, because I really don't have a clue if I'm going to vote or what's going on. But I know who I'm not going to vote for. And that's anybody that thinks it's okay to kill babies in the womb. Because I don't have any problem with understanding what this book says about it. And knowing what this book says about it, I cannot violate my conscience by pulling a lever or pushing a button for anybody I know thinks it's okay. And one of these days I'm going to stand before God for all the works I've done in my body, and I'm not going to stand there and say I voted for a candidate that I knew thought it was okay to kill babies in the womb. Now you can call it whatever you want to. But this country is guilty of shedding innocent blood. And it will be held accountable for it. And we will be held accountable for what we did in regard to it. Now, that was free political commentary. You don't have to pay anything for that. But the Bible says that their land was polluted by blood. But you know what it means beyond that? They had gone from learning the works of the heathen to serving the idols of the heathen to sacrificing their sons and daughters to the heathen to shedding innocent blood. And if you read the verse, that shedding of innocent blood pertained to their sons and daughters. Back in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, the Bible says that if we refuse to warn the wicked from their ways and they die in their iniquities, their blood, God says, will I require at your hands. And what we're doing today is losing the generation of young people. Because we have mingled ourselves among the heathen. We have begun to learn their ways and serve their idols and sacrifice our children to the point where our voice is no longer heard. And now we're at the point where our sons and daughters as a generation, and I'm speaking as a whole, not necessarily as our church itself, but as a whole, the young people have no consciousness of God, have no knowledge of God. They're taught by teachers that don't want to mention to them that there's a God. And we're losing and sacrificing younger generations. You know, every church has the same problem. It's teen department. And we've been blessed. We've had strong ones. We've got one. We've got some coming up. But most churches, the gap is in that department, because that's the age where we're losing them. Then they get into their 20s and 25 and they're still not coming back very strong. It's not till they start their families and realize there's got to be something more sane and secure in this world than what they've got. That's when they start to come back, when they're 30, 35, 40. But that middle generation right there are getting wrapped up in the ways of this world and the sins of this world, and they're destroying themselves. And we're being guilty of innocent blood. They are mingled among the heathen. Lastly, look what God says in verse 39. They learned their works, they served their idols, they sacrificed their sons and daughters, they shed innocent blood. Verse 39, thus were they defiled. Defiled in the Bible means not holy. Defiled means not holy. That's the best definition. That's the Bible definition. The opposite of defiled is holy. We think of defiled as being unclean, and it does mean that. We think of it not as not being fit, not being clean for service, and it does mean that. The Bible talks about having a defiled conscience. That's when it's impure. That's when it has meditated upon things it shouldn't, and it gets defiled, and that fills in the line of what we're talking about. But the end result of mingling with the heathen, the end result of it is being separated mentally from God. You can still physically be walking the path of this earth. You can be sitting in a pew. But if you've allowed this worldliness to creep in and enter into our life, we are defiled. We're not holy before Him. That's why I say again, I can't give you a checklist and say, do this and do this and do this and don't do that, don't do that. There are some things that definitely you have to do. There are some things that you definitely cannot do. But in between, there are some things that you have to have communion with God and fellowship with God. And walk with God to allow God to say, you know that thing you like so much, you spend so much time with? There's really nothing wrong with it, but it's got too much of your heart. It's got too much of your attention. And if you really want to love me, you've got to love it less. It might not be a sin. It could be your family. It could be your spouse. It could be a parent. It could be anything. But if we love it too much, it becomes an idol to us. And the world is there to hold us up. You want, there is a psychologist for every problem. You want somebody to tell you what you're doing is okay, there's somebody out there that'll do it. No matter what it is you're doing, Ted Bundy or one of these guys that are doing these things, they could find somebody that would excuse their wicked, sinful behavior if they just went for a psychologist looking for one. Because they've been defiled. They don't know right from wrong. You know how you get defiled? By being mingled with the heathen. By learning their ways. By serving their idols. See, it starts way back there. It doesn't just start one morning when you get up. And that's where it begins. Say, preacher, what's the purpose of this message? It's simply to put a warning flag up in your life. For you to recognize that there might be some areas in your life that you're allowing yourself to be mingled among the heathen. Most of you have to go out and work tomorrow morning among the heathen. You've got to hold down your occupation, your job. You've got to mingle at the grocery store. You've got to be among this thing. But we need these safeguards and these warnings to remind us. We need to keep the world away from us. We need to keep the heathen away from us, that they don't have too strong a hold or position in our life. The best way to do that is to read your Bible and pray. If the next time you open your Bible is Wednesday night in Psalm 15, you're going to lose the battle. The next time you pray is when we come together Wednesday night to pray as a group. You're going to be mingled among the heathen. You need God's help and God's strength, and He gives it to us through our word, through His Word, that we can read it every day to protect ourselves. We need to read it every day to protect ourselves. Can I be honest, and I know it's this way with you, some days you just get busy. Some days you get up in the morning, maybe that's where you read, and you don't have time, you can't get your three chapters or three pages, I don't care what it is, but something from the Word of God in, and you get caught up in the day. It happens to all of us. You go through lunch and you're busy, you go to the evening and you're busy, it gets time to go to bed at night and you haven't read any of the Word of God, and you're tired and you're exhausted, and you know you need to get up in so many hours. You know what the best thing you can do is? Sit down wherever it is you sit down at. Open that Bible. Make sure you're committed to reading whatever it is you're going to read every day. Make sure you get it in, because I'll tell you what you did get that day. You got mingled with the heathen. You say, preacher, what are you saying about my life? We live in this world. We walk in it every day. We're picking up the things of the heathen every day. We need the Word of God every day to counter-affect that. The Bible said, but they were mingled among the heathen. So what happened? Verse 40. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance, and He gave them into the hand of the heathen. They that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought under subjection under their hand. How did it all start? By being mingled among the heathen. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.